Hey there, sex fans. Welcome back. Today is Monday, November 30th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge. And I'm your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick.
What time do you want me to pick you up after school?
I'm not even in school anymore, but thanks. Listen, we'll be winding up the year with our traditional Q&A format. For the few weeks that remain before our well-deserved annual holiday break, I'll be addressing the concerns of the sexually worrisome that come my way via email and voicemail. And if we have some time, we'll be discussing everyone's favorite topic, sex toys. The Erotic Mind series will resume in the new year, with a slew of new and interesting erotic artists and authors who will share their work and discuss with us their creative process. I'd like to remind you of the toll-free Lickety-Split Sex Advice Podcast voicemail hotline at 866-422-5680. Got a question or a comment? Want to rant or rave for a bit? Or maybe you just want to talk dirty for a minute or two? Why not get it off your chest and give Dr. Dick a call at 866-422-5680.
Stand me up today, and tomorrow I'll drive you to school in my robe and pajamas and walk you to your first class.
That'll be interesting. Listen, no need to be shy, my friends, when you call the hotline, because it's voicemail. No human will answer your call, least of all me, and besides, calling the hotline will almost guarantee you a place in one of my podcasts. This week's podcast is brought to you by Sex Is, the brilliant e-magazine that is lighting up the net. Look for the Sex Is banner on the sidebar of my site. Tomorrow, Tuesday, December 1st, is World AIDS Day. To commemorate this occasion, Sex Is will be presenting an unprecedented week-long series of essays, memoirs, and personal reflections, as well as video. They call this the World AIDS Day Project, and I'm honored to kick off this series today, November 30th, with my essay, Human Rights, Sexual Rights, and World AIDS Day. Be sure to look for it. Later in the week, Sex Is will present other insightful and poignant columns by some of the best and brightest writers on the net. Anatomy of an AIDS Activist, Learning Out Loud, Boogeyman Logic, AIDS Through My Days, AIDS Really Isn't That Funny, and Live Through This, Can Gay Rights Be Gained Via HIV, and No Domination. Sex Is will also present a video montage filmed at the AIDS Service Center in New York City.
Announcement here. Going to be a little delay on the clown.
No, I don't think they're having a clown this year, but it's a really good idea. Again, this week of dedicated articles and essays begins today, November 30th, and runs through Friday, December 4th. Don't miss this, people. Okay, on with the show. Let's start with voicemail.
Dr. Dick, my boyfriend has a penis and a vagina. Is that awkward or is that normal? See, I called your mom last night, and she told me a whole bunch of stories about your past.
Very funny.
Hello, Dr. Dick. I wonder about penis size. It's 2 inches too long. That's what your girlfriend told me.
You ever hear of a ritual killing?
You guys can just cut it out. All right, let's start with Jake, who's 16, and he writes from New Mexico. Can you get more guys to tell about mutual masturbation stories? And how can I get my friends, both straight, to do it with me? Okay, I'll ask my audience to send us stories about their mutual masturbation experiences. Hey guys and gals, here's what I want you to do. Send me stories about your mutual masturbation experiences. You can use the anonymous question form on my site if you'd like. And if we get some good ones, I'll put them up on my site. As to asking your straight friends to jerk off with you, well, that's another issue altogether. Most young men won't even acknowledge that they pull their pud. And most ostensibly straight men won't choke the chicken in front of or even with a gay guy because they think that's queer. Maybe your friends are more open-minded about such things, but I wouldn't hold my breath. However, if you think there's a chance they'd consider such a thing, why not just come out and ask? Hey guys, I'm hosting a circle jerk at my house on Wednesday afternoon after school. If you're looking for a good time, all you have to do is show up, drop trow, and spring a boner. We'll all be handling our own meat, so it's just for the ritual. Prizes for the biggest load and the guy who shoots the farthest. See, if you make it a sport, maybe they'll come. Now here's a curious exchange that I had with a fellow named Dennis. He writes, "Hi, thanks for taking the time to answer me. My new girlfriend is 49, sexually active, but has never given oral to a male. She was married for 6 years to a man who had sex with her. He liked to dress in women's heels and clothing, but never asked his wife for oral sex. They had sex, and he gave her oral. But could there be a reason why he didn't ask for oral for himself? Could he have been cheating with men to get what his wife did not do? Thank you very much. I'm concerned. Also, my girlfriend has never jerked a man off, including her husband. I'm concerned why this is." Dennis. Well, Dennis, I can't see why you're so concerned. Some men, your girlfriend's former husband, for example, aren't all that interested in getting a blowjob. He probably was a submissive and was more interested in cross-dressing and pleasuring his wife than getting pleasured, blowjob or handjob, for himself. There's no reason to think that he was cheating on his wife with other men either. He's just a sub. Not a particularly difficult concept to grasp. Then Dennis writes back to say, "I'm concerned because I'm having trouble with her touching me and giving me oral sex. Is this normal? I've never encountered this. Thanks, Dennis." Maybe it's just that she doesn't want to blow you. Maybe she doesn't like the whole idea. Listen, since I don't know either of you, and I don't think I have any more to offer you other than to say that I think it would be a good thing for y'all to see a sex therapist. Next we hear from Tyler, who's 21, and he writes from Alaska. When having gay sex and it's a threesome, how do you put two dicks in a man's anus? Very carefully, I would suspect. Okay, we in the porn industry call that DP, or double penetration. Here's how you do it. Have top A lie on his back with his hips at the edge of the bed. The bottom sits on his dick facing top A. Top B comes at this duo from between top A's legs and then crams his unit up the bottom's butt alongside top A's cock. Take my word for it, it's a whole lot easier to tell you about than it is to do. Next we hear from somebody who identifies himself as uncircumcised man. He's 40 and he writes from Mill Creek, Washington. "I'm not circumcised. I'd like to have it done now. Where can I go for help? I'm afraid, shy, and I do not know who to tell. It really bothers me. I especially want to have it done to have better hygiene."
Did you ever have anyone embarrass you like this?
That's not such an embarrassing question, but we ought to start at the beginning. When us boys are born, we all have foreskins. A good portion of us will have our unit seriously altered within days of showing up on the scene. Someone, possibly with good intentions, will lop off 50% of our cock skin and call it a day. I know, cuckoo, huh? Well, be that as it may, those of us who escaped this dastardly deed have a foreskin. But it's only open enough to pee through, and it only opens more if it's stretched, and it only gets stretched if the owner of the foreskin pulls it back over his dickhead. No foreskin ever opens by itself. It gets gradually stretched open over time, either intentionally or just through normal use. Most little boys discover that pulling back their foreskin feels really good. After all, this unique piece of skin is chock full of nerve endings that register loads of delicious pleasure. A lad's foreskin needs to be pushed back regularly in order to stretch it open and to keep it from shrinking shut again. It is important that the boy do this himself so that it is pushed only back as far as it feels comfortable for him. Of course, therein lies the rub, so to speak. The sex-negative pressures of the prevailing culture, both here in the good old U.S. of A. and abroad, frown upon self-induced pleasure of any sort, even if it's associated with personal hygiene and necessary bodily upkeep. So most boys get the message that fiddling around down there, even for the purpose of essential maintenance, is a no-no. Simply put, without manual stretching, a kid's skin can actually shrink, closing up again. As a young fella approaches puberty, there is, as we all know, a growth spurt. What most of us fail to take into account is that along with his legs and arms and torso, head and feet, his cock is also going to grow. His dickhead is going to increase in size, and if the kid hasn't established a healthy routine of foreskin stretching, there's going to be trouble. And since parents are not likely to encourage self-discovery of this sort, nor are they inclined to show their young, uncut sons how to properly care for this exceptional body part, the kid remains clueless, till the problem arises. Wouldn't it be so much simpler, as well as the responsible thing to do, for all parents with intact boys to pass on this priceless nugget of wisdom? It would be so easy to do while kids are enjoying their baths. Parents could show their boys how to retract this fold of skin so that it stays supple, as well as getting things rinsed out underneath. They could encourage their boys to always pull back their lace curtains when they pee. Merely the number of times a fella will handle himself to piss will automatically keep things more lubricated and elastic. Okay, I'm going to guess, Mr. Uncut Man, that you were never instructed on the proper care of your natural cock. Am I right? So, now we have some remedial work to do. Here's what I want you to do. Take a really good close look at your foreskin. I mean a really close look. What do you see? Veins, right? Now, pinch your foreskin between your thumb and your forefinger as hard as you can. Ouch! Yeah. Know why that is? Your foreskin is, as I said, just chock full of nerve endings, darling. Your foreskin contains about 240 feet of nerve fibers and tens of thousands of specialized nerve endings, which can feel the slightest pressure, the lightest touch, the smallest motion, the subtlest change in temperature, and the finest gradations in texture. In many ways, your foreskin is just like your eyelid. It covers, cleans, and protects your dickhead, just like your eyelid covers, cleans, and protects your eye. Your foreskin keeps the surface of your dickhead healthy, clean, shiny, warm, soft, moist, and sensitive. Your foreskin is a specialized, sensitive, and functional organ of touch. No other part of your body serves the same purpose. I'm sure you've already noticed how pleasurable having an intact dick can be, how it enhances your sexual enjoyment. Therefore, I encourage you to hold on to the lace curtains nature gave you. Besides, if you get cut, it removes 50% of the skin of your cock. Do you really have that much to give away? And if you're worried about hygiene, learn to take care of yourself. Clean under your foreskin. That's the answer. Finally, I am of the mind that millions of years of evolution have provided us a covering for our dickhead for a purpose, and to remove it is simply unnatural. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that lickety-split sex advice podcast voicemail hotline number you keep talking about? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Write it down. 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from a guy. We don't know his name or his age or where he's located, but he's got a great question. He writes, I've got a question for you. What do you call that post-pegging discharge that comes about 20 minutes or so after the fun? It's clear and sticky and catches you right in the middle of the ride home. That's precious. I've never heard of this before, so let me get this straight. By pegging, you mean that some chick is fucking you senseless with a strap-on, right? Excellent. Since a strap-on is not going to come in your ass, I guess what's seeping out of you can't be spooge, right? The only thing left is the lube. The woman who is slamming your poop chute is lubing you up first, right? I sure hope so. And if she is, I'm going to guess that's what's dribbling out of your ass on the drive home is the lube. Good luck.
Come on. What, do I have to talk dirty to you? Come on, open up for Daddy.
And now for some questions submitted to me by a friend who's writing a book. I think it's only fair that you, my audience, should get this information before anyone else does, right? First question, what would, in your esteemed opinion, be the 5 hot tips for giving a great hand job? First, there's 10, not 5, because hand jobs are way too important for just 5. Most men love a good old-fashioned hand job. Here's the deal. With a lot of us folks who own a dick, we first become acquainted with the pleasures of our cock through handling ourselves. And when it comes right down to it, there is rarely a mouth, pussy, or ass that can compete with the variety of stroke and firmness of grip that a hand can provide. Simply stated, the humble hand job is the ideal way to pleasure a man. Just remember, even though jerking off your guy isn't particularly exotic, as far as sex acts go, it never has to be boring for you or him. Number 1. I'm of the mind that a brilliant wank begins with a first-class lube job. Many guys swear by silicon-based lubes for the purpose of hand jobs, but a connoisseur will probably have his very own favorite. Start off with just enough lube to make things slick. You don't want to overdo it. Get a feel for his Johnson and what you have to work with. Skillfully draw back the skin of his rod toward the root of his dick till it's taut. This is even easier to do on uncut men, but even most cut men will have some skin left over for this move. Number 2. Tell your dude how much you like his meat. A hand job is the perfect time to marvel at the work of art that is before you. Feel free to ooh and ah a lot. Your man will get off on you admiring his unit, for as we all know, a hard man is good to find. Can you wrap your fingers around the base of his unit and get a good grip there? If not, you'll want to consider a cock ring for this purpose. If you use a cock ring, you'll be able to free up both of your hands for what is to come. Now, number 3. Get yourself a really nice boner going. Get between his legs, take his cock between the palms of your hands, interlock your fingers, and guide your hands up and down his shaft. Your thumbs should be on the underside of his dick so that each stroke up and down you will hit his frenulum with the pads of your thumb. Now, with his cock still between your palms, rub your hands together like if you were warming them. This will provide a great new sensation for your guy. Number 4. Hold his cock in one hand and with the other well-lubed palm of your hand, slowly move it in nice lazy circles over his dickhead. This is a particularly delicate procedure. especially if your man is uncut. His dick head will be super sensitive now that it's fully aroused. And don't forget, if you're using a cock ring, his pecker will be even more engorged than usual, making it hypersensitive. Be sure to ask for feedback on this move. If he finds this too uncomfortable, move on to something more pleasurable. Here's a tip. Us men, being who we are, will, no doubt, already be giving you directions on what to do and how to do it down there. So all you have to do is follow his lead. Remember, he knows his way around his joint better than anyone. Number 5. Don't forget to service his nuts. Since a guy's jewels are less sensitive to the touch than his dickhead, you can manhandle them a lot more. Squeeze and tug and even gently slap those babies till your heart's delight. While you are doing that, and with his dick flat against his belly, shimmy the heel of your hand up and down the underside of his cock. You see how you are incorporating different sensations and movements all at the same time. Keep this up and your man will be putty in your hands, no pun intended. Number 6. Interlace your fingers and make a tight passageway through the palms of your hand. Pump up and down his shaft this way. As you get to the top of his cock, close the passageway even tighter. This will make him squeeze his way in as you slide back down to the bottom. Then, with one hand rapidly following the other in only a downward stroke, make like a perpetual penetration tunnel. This will make his eyes roll back in his head in ecstasy. This might be a good time to incorporate other parts of your body besides your hands. Most guys get off on a titty fuck. Cozy his cock between your boobs and let him hump away. You can also use your feet in the same fashion. Guys can't really get enough of fucking a chick's or a dude's feet. Now, number 7. Back to the hand job. Rhythmically stroke only his rod. Watch as his dickhead swells and turns red, or even purple. Once it's bright red, use your fingertips on the tip of his dick like you are turning a doorknob, first to the right, then to the left. Lightly at first, but slowly increase the pressure until he begs you to stop. Now, get him right where you want him. Number 8. Here's where things can really get interesting. When he's least expecting it, move one of your hands down past his nuts and taint. You know what the taint is, don't you? That's that patch of skin between his balls and his asshole. It's got its name from taint ass and taint balls. You get it? Anyhow, once past his taint, you'll find his rosebud. With a well-lubed finger, massage his pucker. If this is virgin territory for your man, he is in for the thrill of his life. Continue to stroke both his cock and his asshole. Don't be afraid to try to push a fingertip past his sphincter. If he lets you inside, you will have access to his prostate. But even if he doesn't, massaging the outside of his hole will bring him very close to an explosive conclusion. Number 9. If you're ready to finish him off, so to speak, pick up the pace of your stroke. He will be breathing heavily now, and he will look down over his chest at the miracle happening between his legs. Tell him to throw his legs in the air and spread them as far apart as possible. This will add considerably to the muscle tension that you've already built up. And a thunderous orgasm is all about muscle tension. Now, bring this puppy home. Lick his balls, finger his hole, and beat his meat. Insist that he keep his feet in the air and his legs splayed. Momentarily, he will begin to quake with building mini orgasms. He will no doubt try to buck himself to conclusion, but don't let him. For the moment, you're in charge down there, not him. Tease him one last time as he nears ejaculation. When he's almost there, suddenly stop what you're doing. This, of course, will drive him crazy, and don't resume your stroking until he begs for it. It will probably only take you a few more strokes before he gives up the spunk. Keep your face or at least your eyes out of the way, because when he finally blows, it will be explosive. If you've toyed with him for any length of time, you will have built up quite a load, and he will shoot in spurts until he's empty. Number 10. His cock will be hypersensitive after he comes, so be gentle. Now for some anal pleasure and prostate questions. We've heard the prostate referred to as the male G-spot, but we've also heard the frenulum given that same name. Which is it? Or is this term not appropriate for either one? The male G-spot more appropriately denotes the prostate, definitely not the frenulum. However, let's be grown up about this and skip the unnecessary comparison between G-spot and anything in the male anatomy, because that's like saying a clit is the female penis. If we must use a shorthand for the prostate, try P-spot. Next question, how should a woman go about finding and petting the prostate? First, cut your fingernails and file them smooth. And before you start playing with any man's hole, have him relax. Take a relaxing shower, a warm bath, or try some deep breathing exercises. This will help him do that. Have a ready supply of water-based lube handy. Silicon-based lubes are swell for these exercises too. However, this type of lube isn't recommended for use with a condom. Start with a nice hand job. Stroke his dick with your lubed hand to get him into his happy place. Gradually slather some of that lube onto his balls and taint. And while his legs are open, find his hole and play with his rosebud. Gently massage the area all around his asshole, but don't slide your finger in just yet. Simply let him get used to the feelings of playing at the opening of his ass. Let your play include the tip of your finger entering his ass. If you do this for a while you're stroking his cock, you will find that his hole will actually open and invite your finger. That's the great thing about pleasuring one part of the body while learning to pleasure the other. Once he is comfortable with your fingertip inside, try pushing it in a little further and move it around a little. Try pushing it in and pulling it out of his ass. You know, like finger fucking your man. Now, about an inch or so inside your man's ass, move your finger in an upward motion along the wall of his rectum till you discover a round bulb of tissue the size of a walnut. This is his prostate. It shouldn't be hard to find, particularly if your man is all horned up. It'll feel smooth and hard like a flat stone. Give that puppy a nice little gentle massage with your fingertip. And if you're still stroking his wood, don't be surprised if the prostate massage gets him off. In fact, you will find that his prostate actually enlarges a bit and becomes a bit more firm just as he's about to shoot. As he comes, you will also notice that his sphincter muscle will tighten around your finger and pulsate with each squirt. Next question. What's the best position to put a guy into to do this? Your man should be on his back while you face him between his open legs. This gives you access to his cock, balls, and asshole. Next question. Should a girl be worried about hurting her lover while playing with his prostate? You know, if you go slow and gentle, there's nothing to be concerned about. Don't forget to ask for feedback. And if you want to know what he's feeling, finger your own hole first. Next question. In your experience as a sex therapist, do you find that straight men are wary of letting their female partners explore anal play? Oh yeah, big time. Straight guys have it in their head that ass play is gay. And I always respond, that would be true if only gays had prostates. Next question. If so, how would you advise a woman to address or overcome any homophobic paranoia her partner might have in regard to anal play? Well, this is a very delicate issue. The best a woman can do is invite him to experience some new sensations. Anything more than that can backfire. If she is too insistent or tries to shame him into ass play, the guy's fears will quickly become a phobia. The next question. In your experience, is male vulnerability a factor in anal play, and if so, is there anything a woman should do or say to psychologically care for her lover? Oh yeah, like I said above, ass play is often associated with gay sex. The best thing a woman can do is watch some hot butt sex porn with her man, where the dude is on the receiving end of things. These are called pegging videos. Then there are lots of how-to videos like Tristan Terramino's Expert Guide to Anal Pleasure for Men. And here's a tip. If you want to know more about this particular video, you can find a review of it on Dr. Dick's SexToyReviews.com. Just search for Expert Guide to Anal Pleasure for Men. Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Sex Is, the brilliant new e-magazine where you'll find tantalizing articles and informed opinions on sex, society, health, erotica, and humor. Hey, you'll even find ways to green your sex life. And don't forget the World AIDS Day Project. A week of dedicated articles and essays begins today, November 30th, and runs through Friday, December 4th. Don't miss this, people. One final thing. I want to take a moment to invite you to check out my product review site, Dr. Dick's SexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now you can see what's hot and what's not in adult products. You'll find reviews of all sorts of adult goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms and lubes and fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos, just like Tristan Terramino's Expert Guide to Anal Pleasure for Men. Don't miss a single one. Again, the address is drdicksextoyreviews.com. And look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section, obviously. And once there, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. I wouldn't want you to miss even one episode. And hey, feel free to leave a comment when you do. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex, why, that's even better. Over and out.